there are two fish over your mantle. One looks like a really big rainbow trout, and one looks like a, I think it's a cutthroat. Is that right?
No, that's wrong on both cases.
My dad loves the outdoors, especially hunting and fishing. He's 84 years old now, which means he's got a lifetime of great stories to tell. So that's what this show is. I'm Eldon Nelson, and this is Hunting and Fishing Stories with My Dad Gene.
Well, what are they?
The biggest one is a steelhead.
Uh-huh.
And they are related to rainbows, but it's a steelhead that I caught in the Grand River in Michigan.
Well, it figures that I look at these fish my entire life and don't even know what kind they are.
And the smaller one is a German brown.
Okay.
And caught it in a lake on the Canais River in south central Colorado.
Now, there's an... You've gone fishing thousands of times in your life, but you have these two fish mounted. Tell me the story of catching each of those as best as you can.
Well, when I was at Michigan State, I didn't spend all my time studying or doing things with the university.
And this was, when would this have been? This is, about how old were you?
Oh, I was probably about 40-ish.
Okay.
So, anyway, there was the Grand River, and we went fishing up there and upstream, and the steelhead were running out of Lake Michigan, I guess. I don't know where they came from. But you could cast lures for them, and if you hooked one, it was an old logging river full of logs and trash, and you might hook one, but the chance of getting it before it got snagged up was kind of minimal, but managed to horse that one ashore. And someone at in the entomology department knew someone that mounted fish, so we gave it to them, and it was pretty reasonable cost. They skinned it out and put it over a frame, and I've just carried it around ever since and tell a story about it. But steelhead are somewhat related to rainbow trout, so it looks like one.
So this fish was, I mean, I'm sort of thinking about it from, a child's size or child's perspective, but how big was this? How long would you say it was?
Oh, it's probably about 28, 29, 30 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Weighed about, I think, 12 pounds, something like that, not alive.
So did you have any expectation that you were going to be bringing that big of a fish?
Well, our expectation was we were going to try to catch some of that size.
Uh-huh.
But I hooked several. But the river was an old logging river. And a lot of the logs are just waterlogged and sunk. And so it was full of snags.
Right.
And you might hook one. And they'd do their best to go where they could to get off, and often they would snag up on one of the old sunken logs and you'd lose the fish. But I decided that I probably wasn't going to catch one like that ever again out west, west meaning in Colorado or Utah.
Right.
So I decided to have that one made. And it was made during the days when they had just kind of, I don't think it was fiberglass forms, but plaster forms that skin the hide out and repaint it and stretch it over. And so the lure that's in its mouth is the same one we made because we'd lose so many of them.
Right.
And they were just homemade spinners. We could buy all the parts. And so if we'd lose one, we might only lose about 20 cents. But if you bought them at the store, they were about a dollar and a half. And so we didn't worry about losing them. And we just make them by the dozens.
Tell me more about the actual catching of this. I mean, bringing, hauling in a, how many pound fish? A 20 pound fish?
No, it was about 12, 13 pounds.
See, I'm exaggerating for you.
Oh, okay. Well, Yeah, it probably is about 20 pounds.
There you go. That's much better. So I've never wrestled in a 12, a 10, probably even a 5 pound fish. How long does it take to bring in a fish like that? How do you do that without, especially in these waterlogged waters, how did you manage to bring it in?
Well, you couldn't really force it too much because the line, if you force it too much, you might break the line or it might come loose out of the fish's mouth. So just fight it the best you could and keep the rod tip up and keep tension on the line. And finally, they take off the river. It was pretty fast flowing. So it did go downstream, but I was able to follow it to some more still water. And it just managed to not get snagged up. And after fighting it for a while, probably about 15 or 20 minutes, and it wore it out and just drifted it ashore. And there was a local man there that saw me struggling with it, and he had a net. And so when I got it close to the bank, he netted it and lifted it up. And that was my fish from then on.
Have you caught fish that big before or since? I mean, I've seen photos of you with salmon that I think are probably bigger. But
yeah, that's probably the biggest trout-like fish I've ever caught. Yeah, I caught salmon a little bit bigger than that in Alaska, but in Colorado, and they get that big, but I've never caught one that big here in Colorado.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the German brown. So yeah. It's smaller fish, but
it's a pretty good size
one. Still a very big fish. How big would you say it is?
It was probably about 3 pounds, and caught it in a lake. Actually, I remember you were with me, and we were living in Alamosa, Colorado at the time. That's south central Colorado, and we decided to go up on the Canais River to a place called Platoro Reservoir.
Right.
And it was in the fall of the year, and I knew that in that reservoir there were some pretty good-sized German browns, and it was the time of the year when the German browns were running up the river, the Platoro River, that dumps into the Canais River that jumps into the Platoro Reservoir, and just casting a lure out there and hooked it and managed to land it. And you helped me take some pictures, and there was some people we knew in Alamosa that owned a taxidermy shop in Idaho, and said if we could get the fish there, they would mount it for me for no charge. And so I had the fish totaled, didn't even clean it, and some students from Alamosa were going to Ricks College in Idaho. And that's where the taxidermy shot was. So they carried it up there for me in a frozen plastic bag. And a few months later, it came back with them. And that's the story on it.
And that one looks a little bit more professional. That one still looks a little more. Yeah. Maybe it's because it's a little newer.
Yeah, it was better done. I think the days when they had the steelhead mounted, they just came up with a plaster cast about the right size. Because the only thing that's real on that fish is just the fins and the head and the skin that they stretch over.
Oh, really? The rest is just plaster?
Yeah, the rest is just hard. That's why you pick it up. It's so heavy.
I don't think I've ever picked it up. I've only looked at it.
Probably never taken it off the wall to clean it either. So
it's probably ought to dust that from time to time. Huh?
It's found a permanent place on the wall.
So are there fish that you have caught that you never did have mounted that you kind of wish you would have? All right. What's a fish you've caught that was trophy worthy that you never kept?
Well, I caught one on the Gunnison River where it comes out of Blue Mesa Reservoir in central Colorado. Mm-hmm. And the Gunnison River goes down through the Black Canyon of the Gunnison. And there's places on old trails that hike down over the cliffs, and it's quite a climb down there because there's a sheer canyon wall that drops down into the river the whole distance. So we knew the trails and hiked down there one day, and a big hole that was always fishable, hooked into that one, hooked into a, most of them are rainbows that were in there. And you'd catch a German brown once in a while, but most of them were natural rainbows. They weren't planted. And so I hooked one and finally fought it out, and it weighed about 4 pounds. And that's good size, big size for the rivers around here, especially on the Gunnison down in the Black Canyon, and managed to carry it out. And but rather than have another one mounted, just cleaned it, and we chopped it up and made fillets out and ate it.
Did you get pictures, though?
No. didn't take a camera in those days, but I didn't get pictures of that one. But there's another picture I have. It's of a rainbow. It's about the same size that I caught on the Gunnison, but it was upstream above Blue Mesa, still on the Gunnison River, where it enters Blue Mesa Reservoir. And the fish get pretty good size in the reservoir. Then they move up the river. And so I have a picture of that one. And it weighed about 4 pounds, too.
That's big. How long does it take to bring in a fish of that size?
Well, if it's calm water, you can fight them out a little bit faster. You can kind of tussle with them. But if it's river water, it's fast flowing, and they move out into the fast water, there's not much you can do except follow them downstream till they get tired or you hit some slower water where you can stop them. But between the current that's flowing and the size of them and the bigness of them and maybe the light monofilament line you're fishing with, you don't want to horse it too much or you might lose everything. And then
what do you mean by horse it?
Try to pull it in just on your strength of your line and your reel, and rather than fighting it out and letting it get tired so you can move it toward the shore. And some people, a lot of people, when they're young, they get a bite and get a fish on, and they don't fight it at all. They just manage to horse it in, pull it in as hard as they can, and hope the line doesn't break.
And I imagine, well, I don't know, more often than not, but at least a lot of times, you lose a fish that you could have caught just because you didn't have the patience then,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it's part of one of my fishing techniques is that just to fight it out. And they do give up probably reasonably in time rather than when you think they would. And so you can just keep them on the line, keep the line tight so it doesn't come out of the mouth. And that's part of the fun of fishing, is not to get it up on the bank, but it goes with the motion of you outsmarting a dumb fish.
That's it for this episode. If you have a question for my dad, you can email me at eldennelson@gmail.com. That's eldennelson@gmail.com. I'll have more stories soon. Thanks for listening to Hunting and Fishing Stories with my dad, Gene.